This is Texans Huddle, brought to you in part by Verizon, America's largest 4G LTE network. By Amity Bank of Texas, the official bank of the Houston Texans. By Texas Emergency Care Center. Any emergency, day or night, ready or not, we are. And by MD Anderson, making cancer history. Now, here's your host, Patty Smith.
Hi, everyone, and welcome into this, the last edition of the season for Texans Huddle. Patty Smith alongside the voice of the Houston Texans, Mark Vandermeer. One more time, Mark.
That's it, Patty. One more time. I can't wait for next season to start. It cannot start soon enough. I'm very glad the 2-14 experience is over, but it's going to be a lengthy experience recovering from it.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll get to all of that in just a minute. But the big news of the week, of course, is the hiring of the Houston Texans' next head coach, Bill O'Brien. Brian, your thoughts on this move?
Patty, Bill O'Brien is the head coach of Penn State, was the head coach of Penn State for 2 years, and he took over the Nittany Lions in a very difficult situation. You know, I've worked in that market. I was in State College for a couple of years in the 90s, and I know what football means to that community, and he was able to preserve some of the good things they've done on the football field and actually enable them to get into the next era. So a lot of people say, well, gee, those kids, are they left in the lurch? Look, they're going to get a great head coach there, and Bill O'Brien will be here. He worked with Bill Belichick in New England. He used to work with George O'Leary and Ralph Regan and Chan Gailey in the ACC. He's got a ton of experience, super smart guy from Brown, and he's ready for the task of taking over an NFL team.
Well, I don't want to dwell really on this game as much because I'd like to wrap up the whole season, but We do need to get in our HCC Go Get It. It's yours play of the week, and for that I want to give that to the performance of Jonathan Grimes. I mean, here's a guy that comes in, really showed some things, gets his first NFL touchdown. Just your thoughts on the kind of the spark he brought and kind of what a possible future he may have.
126 total yards for Jonathan Grimes. I love the way he caught the ball. They cleared things out over the middle for him, shooting those little passes right over the top. He was able to make some good yardage that way, more than he got in the rushing department, which was 50. But I thought that he kept them going. They scored on the opening drive. They certainly had a little something going, a little mojo in this game, Patty. But ultimately, as things went on, the old bugaboos got them, the turnovers and everything. But I do salute Grimes. With the club a week and a half, of course, he was with them last year and learned the system and all of that. But to come in after a week and a half and do what he did was pretty impressive.
Of course, after the final game, it's not, I guess, tradition. That's just the way it is. The players come in, clean out their lockers. You and I were standing down there in the locker room watching this go on, and you looked at me and you said, you know, this is just kind of sad. And really, it always is that way, but this year even more so because it seemed like it happened about a month too soon. The players, I know, share some of those same sentiments. We had a chance to talk to them in the locker room, both after the game and on locker clean-out day.
It's been very strange. It's been the utmost. I mean, you know, it's hard to put into words just because all the things that have taken place within our team, on the field, off the field, and just things that have gone on that, you know, we're just looking forward to putting it out of our mind and, you know, having a short-term memory that you got to have and put it behind you and move forward.
We fight every week. This team never gave up. Always had energy. Everybody's always putting it in. But at the end of every game, from week two, we've been coming up, you know, after week two, we've been coming up losers, you know. And at the end of the day, when it ain't no more fight, we ain't gonna get to play no more games. That's all it is. We lost the game. You know, we played hard. We had a chance to win. I even say we should have won. I seen a few plays out there that should have won us the game that didn't. But at the end of the game, same old ending.
The most frustrating season I've personally ever been a part of. I'm sure a lot of guys in this room feel the same way. I'm sure a lot of guys just like me are extremely ready to move on, to get to work in the off season and to move on and to put this behind us and never let anything like this happen again.
Just glad what we went through this season is over. I mean, I enjoy playing football. I love playing it. But what we went through this season as a team, I wouldn't wish that on nobody. Anybody to experience it, and I'm happy that part of it is over.
To go from 12-4 to 2-14, I don't know if that's ever been done before, but it's something that I hope none of us have to ever go through again, especially with the losses and that losing streak we're on. It was something rough to experience.
All right, so clearly the players, kind of a little bit of both, relieved that it's over, but also anxious to sort of wipe it all out, have a clean slate, and they look like they're ready to just to turn the page and move forward.
Well, as soon as the season ended, 2014 begins, and that's the beauty of it all. You know that you start fresh no matter what. You're 0-0 now. That is the record going into next year. Even for some of the guys who are going to be free agents, they know that they are working toward September, and you're not working in the mess that you were living in right now. And I hate to call it that, but that's what it was with a 14-game losing streak.
So the Bill O'Brien era starts right now. Any concern for you that not all the coaches that have come out of Bill Belichick's system have been successful in the NFL?
Patty, I think it's somewhat of a legitimate concern, but the difference between Bill O'Brien and these other guys is that O'Brien became a head coach at a very high-level college football program in Penn State, and we mentioned the scandalous nature that was surrounding that program when he took over. I mean, a dark cloud hovering over that program. A lot of people thought it should have gotten a death penalty, the entire athletic administration. I mean, that's strong stuff, and he came in there and stabilized it. To me, that proves leadership, as well as the football knowledge. You combine those two things, and you've got yourself quite a head coaching candidate. Look, there's nothing perfect about anybody coming in. There's no one way to do it, Patty. There's no guarantee that the candidate you pick is going to be the right guy and win championships for you. You've got to make your best possible educated guess, and I think they've made a great guess here.
All right, we have to take our first time out here on Texans Huddle, but don't go away. When we come back, Mark's going to step aside for his radio broadcast partner, Andre Ware. Stay with us. And welcome back to the show. Joining me now for the first time all season, a very special guest. Glad to have him on, Heisman Award-winning quarterback and your Houston's radio broadcaster, Andre Ware. Thanks for being on.
Well, thanks for having me. It's been a long year, and I'm glad to finally be sitting in the seat next to you.
Well, let's talk about this long year. Obviously, no one saw this coming. No one anticipated. You and I have talked a million times about, you know, what's gone, very little gone right, but mostly what's gone wrong throughout the course of the season. You know, just kind of looking back, so many strange circumstances, odd things you couldn't script if you tried. But just kind of, you know, give us your encapsulation of it all.
Well, I think most teams this time of year, or you know, you have injuries certainly along the way, but most teams are able to stay away from the star players being injured or going on IR. And even when they do, they're able to replace them and then kind of move on, brush it over. It seemed like that happened early with this football team from week three on. And the loss of Brian Cushing certainly hurt the defense and his ability to play sideline to sideline. And then you lose arguably your best player on offense, or one that certainly affects the offense more so than any other, in Arian Foster. He goes down. So now you're reshuffling the cards, and it just seemed like penalties, turnovers. This team, a year ago, they're forcing so many turnovers, getting the offense so many opportunities. Now it's all turned around where the offense is turning the football over and putting the defense in bad spots when you're already injured. So I think just that, an accumulation of all those things, just kind of led to where they are right now.
So when you look at especially the quarterback situation right now, you know, Matt Schaub had such a difficult season. In comes Case Keenum. Case is back out. Matt is back. I mean, just, you know, how much of a toll does that take on the rest of the team?
Well, it takes a toll, and certainly on that individual. And nobody wants to be pulled. Nobody wants to get benched. But when you do, or you're going about it the way Matt has, or what was affecting him was the turnovers, and that starts to play in the back of your mind all the time. It's hard to let it go. It's hard to pull the trigger on certain throws that maybe are across the field that you wouldn't even think about if you don't have the interception for a touchdown the week before. It builds itself into four and on. That's a tough place to be. So you're battling not only the injury bug on your offense, but then the demons that are playing tricks in your own head as well. And then in and out of the lineup, I think it was tough on Case. He played so well the first couple of games that he was inserted into the lineup, and then now Matt has to come in. Once Case was removed from that first game, he's never really seemed to be the same or gotten back to quite that level. So both of them are playing, you know, basically not to mess up rather than just playing freely.
Well, what do you think changed with Case? I mean, he, like you said, he came in, he was slinging it, he was having fun, and that just sort of deteriorated each and every week. Did you see something physically that changed in him?
I think more so it's more mentally. When you start to listen to get the ball out on time and things of that sort and stay in rhythm, and he was just out playing, and that's Case Keenum. And sometimes I think you can be overcoached, and I think that's what happened with him, is that he was basically overcoached. He was programmed. and you could start to see it in his play. The ball was not coming out quite as fast as it was in the first couple of weeks that he got under center. So, you know, he's just got to go back to being himself, trusting what he's done to get himself to this level and to get himself to this position and just continue to play that way.
All right, great stuff. You've got potential doing this. We got to get you off that four-letter network and get you over here maybe.
Every once in a while. How about that?
All right, thanks so much. We've got to take another time out, but don't go away. Plenty more on the other side.
Be sure to pick up your copy of the new 16-month Houston Texans Cheerleaders Swimsuit Calendar for only $10 at select Houston-area Kroger stores, the Go Texans store inside Reliance Stadium, and shop.houstontexans.com.
Be sure to go to houstontexans.com and register for your chance to win Lunch with a Texan, which includes lunch in the Texans cafeteria with the Texans Community Player of the Year. The nominees for Player of the Year honors are Whitney Mercilus, nose tackle Earl Mitchell, cornerback Kareem Jackson, and guard Wade Smith. Welcome back to Texans Huddle. As promised, now we are turning the page on 2013 and looking forward to 2014, and that started really with Wade Phillips kind of wrapping up with his final press conference and sort of saying so long.
You know, Patty, Wade Phillips has been an interim coach three times in his career. He's coached six NFL teams. That is amazing stuff. And he knows what this situation is all about.
All right. Let's wrap up the season. Please. I think everybody knows. I don't think everybody knows what happened, certainly. But we know the results, and certainly they weren't good. We had some individuals that did some really great things. Speaking of Andre and JJ and people like that, the team didn't do well, but they did well and did some amazing things. We had some areas certainly that we played well. Some group or areas. When you're third in the league in pass defense and seventh overall offensively through most of the season, we were in the top 10 in offense. So these things are certainly perplexing, but that's what happened. And everybody's got to move on to next year, and that's what we're going to do. I think you probably heard the same thing with the players, but I think overall, again, their attitude was good at the end of the year, and I know it seems strange that you'd have a good attitude when things aren't going well like that, but I thought our guys played hard at the end of the year, and I really believe that this team next year, the players will come back and work hard in the off season, and you'll have some guys. You know, you had one of the top running backs, obviously, or maybe the top running back in the league, not play most of the year. So we had some big-time injuries, but we were overcame some of those the previous years. We didn't this year, so that's about it.
And, Mark, as we look forward to next season, obviously a number one draft choice to be excited about, mm-hmm. but a lot of these guys that we've been so used to seeing, whether it's Antonio Smith, whether it's Ben Tate, just – Matt Schaub, a lot of these guys won't be here next year.
Patty, longtime Texans here, and the Ninja, he's a free agent. He's designated to be one. So you wonder, is he going to be back? Could be at a pretty expensive price tag for this team, which has salary cap considerations that they certainly have to deal with. Earl Mitchell's going to be a free agent. I mean, I could go on and on of all the guys. Joe Mays, who came in here as a nice signing by Rick Smith, he ends up as a free agent. Some of these guys might be back. A lot of them won't. It'll be a different-looking team, different coach, obviously, with a different feel going forward. And that's important. It's not just about the players involved. It's the coaching staff. It's the culture that they form this into as they move forward.
Obviously, the number one position that everybody is looking at, and we touched on it earlier, mm-hmm. is the quarterback situation.
Yeah.
Just your thoughts from a draft standpoint and just kind of what happens at that position.
Well, now all your Aggie friends are going to be saying, Johnny Football is going to be out there once he officially declares, and there's Teddy Bridgewater from Louisville and Blake Bortles from Central Florida, who Bill O'Brien actually saw when he was at Penn State earlier this season. Look, there are a lot of guys out there. It's not just about the number one pick, though, as we've indicated during this season. it's, hey, do you get a guy early in the second round? You know, Drew Brees was taken right there once upon a time. Nick Foles is a third-round draft choice. Andy Dalton, second-round draft choice. You know, you have a lot of different ways to go here, but you got to like Bridgewater. I think Johnny Football is going to be a pretty solid NFL quarterback, maybe a spectacular one, but there are questions about every single player. There's no Andrew Luck coming into this draft, at least on paper heading in. It might be the next Tom Brady in the fifth round for all we know, but that's what you have to deal with, and that's why they get paid the big bucks to figure this stuff out.
Yeah, and it's not just looking at that number one pick specifically. It's looking at that draft as a whole with that number one pick in the at the beginning of every round.
Yeah, you have the opening pick in the first round, and then you pick early in every round after that. Those have tremendous value. Maybe somebody blows you away with an offer. You know, maybe Cleveland or something. You know, they have two first-round picks because of the Trent Richardson deal. A lot of different ways you can go with this
selection. Well, yeah, I mean, think about that. The first pick of the second round is only a few picks later than our first-round pick last year.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
So, anyway, I just thought that was a good point on my part.
It is a good point, Patty.
All right, well, we have to take another time out here on Texas Huddle. Don't go away. When we come back, we have mailbag, as well as we'll look forward to next year's schedule. Stay with us.
Stop by the Houston Texans Grill, located at City Center off I-10 at Beltway 8. The grill opens at 11 a.m. every day, and you can watch your favorite team on more than 65 high-definition flat-screen TVs. For more information, log on to HoustonTexansGrill.com.
Texans Huddle has been brought to you in part by Verizon, America's largest 4G LTE network. By Amity Bank of Texas, the official bank of the Houston Texans. By Texas Emergency Care Center. Any emergency, day or night, ready or not, we are. And by MD Anderson, making cancer history.
Welcome back to Texans Huddle. Time for Mark's favorite part of the show, mailbag.
That's right. Brought to you by the Texas Lottery, home of the Houston Texans scratch-off game. And check out HoustonTexans.com for the official winners with Drew and Deepy.
All right, question number one comes from Jan. Jan would like to know, outside of quarterback, which is the biggest position of concern?
Ooh, that's a pretty good one, Jan. As I look at it, when you look at wide receiver, I think they're in really good shape. Tight end, iffy, because you have free agent situations there, but I think tight end, they'll be okay ultimately. Offensive line, I think they're going to be okay. And I look at this, running back, Arian Foster coming off the back surgery. Look, if he's healthy, you feel really good about that, but you need depth behind him. And once you get through that D-line, Antonio and Earl are free agents. So they play in a 4-3 or 3-4. I think D-line, obviously you have Watt there, so you feel really good about that. But you do have some concerns going forward because you don't know who's going to be on the squad. Linebacker Cushing's going to come back. The secondary could get retooled seriously here due to cap restraints and that sort of thing, so we'll see.
All right, Chris wants to know, and I'm assuming this is from a positive standpoint, mm-hmm. which player was your biggest surprise?
Biggest surprise? Yeah, well, let's go down this road.
Let's do that.
This way. I like Brandon Brooks at right guard, and I mentioned offensive line. I thought he played very well. He's big, physical. He fit into this system nicely. I'm not sure what they're going to do moving forward, whether they're more drive blocking, zone blocking on occasion, but I think Brooks can handle anything you put in front of him. He is the size that you need, no matter what system you're running up front, and I really like the way he performed. I would say he was the most improved player on the football team.
All right, and finally, Jack would like to know, with the NFL releasing the schedule, and we now know who the Texans' opponents are, just your thoughts on how that bodes for them next year.
Yeah, I like this one, because it reminds me of 2011, and I think they're going to stay off primetime for the most part, maybe a Thursday night game. We'll see, you know, after all the hype and everything, maybe they get some primetimers, which is fine, but I like the routine. You know, in 2011, they had a lot of noon starts, they kind of got into a groove, and they won a lot of games. But I like the fact that you go to Oakland, you have Buffalo here. You know, those are last place teams in their division. No one's easy to beat in this league, and we've proved that here this year. But you'd rather have those matchups than have to go to Denver and play Peyton Manning and that kind of thing. And you play the NFC East, which is really enjoyable. You go to Dallas, we'll see how that works out. You go to the New York Giants, the Eagles come here at least, and they're a very tough team winning that division. So we'll see how it all plays out.
Yeah, and only three of those teams were playoff teams this year. So you don't, like you said, you don't want to say an easy schedule, but a little easier.
You certainly don't want to say that because, you know, you got to go to Pittsburgh, and they would have, should have, could have been in the playoffs. They got hot late. They started 0-4. You know, you go to Cleveland. I know you're looking forward to sunbathing near Lake Erie, the mistake by the lake. Not you, but, you know.
Oh, so you're making me
the
mistake by the lake
they
in
call
my bathing
the city
suit?
That, but I actually think Cleveland's a lot more fun than people think, and they have the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame there, too.
Yeah, I think you're covering up because that was kind of of a mistake, yes. A blooper, if you will.
But we never make mistakes.
We have some mistakes. We have some bloopers that we're going to close the show out with. But before we get to those, Mark, it was great, another great year with you and all the shows and everything we did together. And I appreciate you being here each and every week.
Patty, love working with you and Gray, our producer. We always have a wonderful time. Well, most often. And it's been a fantastic season on the air. We're looking forward to better things on the field next year. Thanks for all your hard work.
All right. Thanks so much. And here's these bloopers.
What's the first thing we're throwing it to?
Well, that's what I'm trying to talk to you about. We'll throw it to... Okay, that's why I asked you. Nobody listens to me.
Patty,
I'm not ready. I'm looking at my jewelry, for crying out loud.
Yeah, catch fly with chopsticks.
We were there! And so I come to you with open arms.
Of course, the biggest...
I wasn't even looking.
Look.
No.
It may be longer. Day or alone when you love it. Why am I even on the show? Welcome back to Tech. Right then.
You understand what it's like every day of your life? I mean, every single day, I screwed up.
Oh, my God. That never happens.
It never happens.